Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and before I do the introductions for tonight, we have suspended the Statesman for an indefinite period until we feel he's served his penance for those slanderous comments about Predator, Kickboxer, and all the great movies from the 80s and 90s growing up. But Steve, welcome to you, mate. How are you going?
I'm doing really well, and I mean, what can you say, Jono? It's the most off-brand thing ever. But something that really is on-brand is the people's love of monotremes. We put up a poll last week. I might have been a little bit inebriated last week and mentioned that I'd absolutely kill Grant Denyer to save a platypus. And I was blown away that only three people disagreed with me. Everyone was all about the platypus. Thank you, listeners. That was great. It was a slam dunk. Grant Denyer, take that. You're a jerk. No one likes you. Get off our televisions.
But I can't believe the flack we copped from actually publishing the Statesman's comment. Like, we've been pretty good so far in our two and a bit years, but man, we copped some heat.
It's and I don't blame the people. I'm with the people.
I totally agree with them. I was holding the pitchforks. Hey, I'm there too, leading the charge.
The hashtag brand was in tatters. We've suspended the Statesman, thank God. But Jono, special guest.
We do have a special guest. He's just woken up over there in WA. I'm talking with OTLS Australia's own Archie. Welcome to you, and thanks for getting up so early in the morning to join us.
Yep, thanks, boys. It's great to be here. Great to be invited on the pod, and hopefully I can live up to Statesman's lofty standards.
Well, you are our first, we'll call it, time-travelling guest on this show. I've got to ask you, the footy, if you've got a 1 o'clock game here in Melbourne, must be like 6 a.m. over there, what's it like having your cornflakes and your beer at the same time? You must be a raging alcoholic.
Well, funny you talk about that sort of stuff. I think you guys are a little bit mean, seeing as you always have a crack at us for being so far behind, yet I'm still waiting to receive an email with the lotto numbers from the Saturday Lotto. I think that's a bit rude from you guys, to be honest.
But I was also thinking, I mean, if there's a night game, it starts at 7:30 here, so that's about 4 o'clock in the afternoon there in WA. It's over by 7:30, but the thing is, you can't go out anywhere in Perth because nothing's open. So what do you do?
Well, you know, you go to bed, mate. I'm old, I've got kids. You need sleep is what you need. So, you know, when the footy's not on, you have to do things like talk to the wife, talk to the kids, that sort of thing. So I just go to bed, mate. It's good.
8 o'clock. Might have to try that going to bed at 8 o'clock, Steve. What do you think about that? I mean, I don't think I can do it.
Have a kid and bed will look like, you know, the oasis in the desert, my friend. It's actually nice to have another responsible adult who has proof of, you know, being able to consummate the goodness of the relationship. I'm still questioning you, Jono. Been married for over a year now, haven't you? And yeah,
I'm still practicing. I need the practice.
You like Tyson? You like Travis? Practice. Travis Cloak in front of goals, just off to the side.
That's it. Left and the right, and sometimes it's way on the full.
If only you're getting paid $800,000 a year to do it.
It would be nice, but we are talking our sleeper show today, where we're talking blokes who might have coming back from an injury we've forgotten about, and those that we are looking after the round 12 that could be that lottery ticket that takes us to our draft grand final and victory overall. So if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors, at Statesman33, at OTLS Archie, and OTLS Oz. So check us out there, also on the Facebook and the Instagram as well. But Archie, why don't you kick us off with your first sleeper?
Well, boys, if you know anything about our podcast, you know the first thing that I do is cheat. So you asked me to come up with three. I ended up with nine. So I'm not going to run through them all, but I'll give you my, I suppose, honourable mentions that I thought were worth looking at. I had Michael Walters, Kieran Jack, Harrison Wigg with a change of teams. I think he might go under the radar and do quite well. David Swallow, maybe this is his year. Same with Jared Lyons. And the one that I think was under the radar until you guys started talking him up a lot is my boy Liam Duggan. Liam Duggan's going to be this year's Dom Sheed, so I can't see him dropping to his average draft position last year of 326. I think he'll be well and truly higher than that, especially if he gets defensive status, which I reckon there's a fair chance there he will. So on to my first one, and this one, you know, you asked me to look at guys that will be very late, you know, around 12 and after, and this guy I think will be that late. He may even go undrafted. It's almost sacrilege to think, but he may go undrafted in some leagues, and that's the newest Brisbane Lion, Mr. Luke Hodge. So last year he had an average draft position of 67, and the reason he's going to slide is because, A, he's older than me, which is saying something, and he's already said that they're going to miss he's probably going to miss a bunch of games. He's not going to travel, so I reckon he'll only play 16 or 17 games. And I had a bit of a look at their fixture, and rounds 3 and 4, they've got back-to-back travelling games. They play Port at Adelaide Oval and Richmond at the MCG. Fair chance he misses one of those. And guarantee you he's not going to fly to Perth to play Freo. You know, time zone changes and or time travel and everything like that aside. I also reckon he may miss the game against the Hawks in Tasmania and the game against Geelong at Cardinia Park. Plus, we all know Hodgie, and fair chance he's suspended for at least one, probably two games at some point during the year. What I did find was interesting was I had a look at his last four rounds, and this is where I think it will be. He could come home for you strong in fantasy finals. So he plays North Melbourne at the Gabba, which is the way North are going. It's basically a free kick. Collingwood down at Etihad, and then Gold Coast at Metricon and West Coast Eagles at the Gabba. So three of his last four games are in Queensland. And if it is his last season, they'll probably send him down to Melbourne for a farewell game as well against Collingwood in round 21, I think that'll be. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there for him to come home strong there. Obviously, you're drafting him knowing that he's going to miss games, so you need a lot of bench cover. He will be a defender, but he has that ability to bust out a big score. He did have 8 scores of 90 plus last year, so I'm thinking he'll go 75 to 85. Which, if you can get something like that in the last couple of rounds of your draft, I think you'd be pretty stoked with.
I'm sorry, I just lost you after you called it Cardinia Park. Obviously, Perth hasn't got the news over there. It's now HBM Alphabet Stadium. They've changed the name for the next 10 years.
I must admit, I had to Google what the shortened word was, or the shortened acronym was, on the AFL website, because it changes names that bloody often. I don't know what's what these days. Even Perth, the one against, when I was looking at another one, is Optus Stadium now.
Yeah, Optus Stadium.
That's going to be a nightmare.
All these name changes, I don't know. So what do you reckon? Have I got Hodgie right, boys?
Yeah, it certainly would go undraftable if people are smart enough to realise that, as you said, there's 16 to 70 games. It's not for me. It's only going to be drafted as bench cover if I do need him, and that's the only way I'm going to look at him. But still a handy score at the age of 49 or whatever he is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think it's it's a really interesting one, because one thing we often talk about on the podcast is brand value. And if there's one thing Luke Hodge carries, it's brand value. Now, whether he's going to be a faller in your draft, I guess you could say, that's going to be the interesting thing, is where he actually gets drafted. I think, Jono, you would know in our league, we've got some very mad Hawthorn supporters. I can't see him getting, you know, past the 14th round with those particular people. I think the call's great, because we know he's got that enormous ceiling. We know defenders, you can replace them week to week pretty easily. I don't mind it at all. I think it's a pretty good one. I think he should go later. And like that run home, I mean, you mentioned the match in against Collingwood in Melbourne. We know defenders against Collingwood is just absolute money, and I know Hodgie hates Collingwood, so I'm sure he'd want to get up for that one. I don't mind it at all.
Who's your first sleeper there, Steve?
My first sleeper, well, of course, when you're talking sleepers, you're talking unknown quantities. So I'm going to go with a number one draft pick because they're absolutely buried. No one's ever heard about them. And I'm talking about Jonathan Patton from the GWS Giants. And I think he's absolutely buried with a 71 Dream Team, 80 Supercoach average. And I'm looking for a bit of a role change with Jonathan Patton, where he's getting freed up a little bit more. We know Mumford's out, and the expectation we all have as fantasy players is that Rory Lobb is going to be the number one ruck. So Patton is going to be playing forward with spells in relief in the ruck. I think that's a great move. It's going to mobilise the forward line for GWS, but it certainly gets Patton around the ball more instead of being just camped inside the 50. And the two matches, which were both finals, by the way, they tried this role. Johnny Patton knocked out 119 and a 97 in Dream Team and an 88 Supercoach and a 96 Supercoach. And he got 20 disposals both times. I mean, they are fantastic scores from someone who was a freebie last year. And the thing about the ruck forward role, they're not often in such an amazing team. GWS, they finished top four with one of the most horrendous injury lists I've ever seen. So they've got the ability to blow teams out of the water. So Johnny Patton could be in the midfield getting 20 touches and kicking four goals as a key forward. Like that ceiling is unbelievably high. I think with the new role, his floor goes up, which is what we really want. We know he can score 150 any time, but it's getting rid of those 40s and 50s and turning him into 75s as the bad score for Johnny Patton. He's got some preseason under his belt. He's absolutely in his physical prime. I think he's absolutely ready to roll, and he's going to be a fantastic sleeper pick for anyone who gets him. I guarantee he goes after the 13th round. I'm all about it.
Yeah, I don't mind it at all. He's a key forward. We do have issues about drafting key forwards, but in the later rounds, it's a bit of that free hit. And there are going to be times where Leon Cameron is going to play him as that sole forward, and those 40s and 50s are going to come. But that's the buyer beware, and it's actually a pretty solid pick. I like it.
Yeah, I like it as well, boys. I think GWS, hopefully this might be the year where they can actually start playing as a team and not a team of individuals. And if he can be on the end of a few, they've got some silky smooth deliveries there. So yeah, if he can average 3.5-4 goals a game, and as you say, 20 odd possessions, you know, let's, you know, say he's playing the Nick Riewoldt role that everyone loves to sort of quote. If he can be half as good as what Riewoldt was and only get us 100 in a grand AFL fantasy grand final, then we'd be pretty happy.
I would be very happy, especially if it was against the Statesman.
No, but that's right.
Absolutely.
That's what, to your point, John, like, I think that's where he's not going to be just the key forward. Like, I think that's gone. Like, I think if you remember Scott Lysette from a couple of years ago, where he was around that 90 average because he was in a good team that was scoring heavily, but he was getting up around the ground with, you know, that 15%, 20% time in the ruck in relief. It really just raised that floor. So I just see that bottom, the floor raising. So anyway, I like it. Who you got, Jono?
I've got a bloke I've got a very little in common with. The only thing we share is the same birthday. Both born on the 28th of March. That's Jackson Thurlow from the Cats. He did his ACL in 2016, didn't see much of him. Only played the 10 games in 2017, giving a return of 55 average in both formats. His ADP was 210, so going very late in the drafts. And Steve, I believe you actually got him in our keeper league this year.
I can't imagine I've still got him.
I don't think you
would. I think he struggled a lot to find touch. I'll put it that way. I know he's a pretty hot salary cap option at the start of the year.
Yeah, he played the first half dozen or so games, then went missing throughout the middle parts of the year, and then came another four or five games towards the end of the year. But this is a depleted Cats backline that's really changed over the last two or three years. You've lost Enright, Bartel, Lonigan, Mackie. So there is a position there for him. And I see it as that second halfback flanker, rebounder slash interceptor in that Cats backline, where he was actually originally drafted as, and that's where he was getting his possessions in his rising star year. So I'd be looking at him. His average actually was actually pretty good in his, in the 2015 year. It was around the 70 mark. So if you can bump that up to around an 80, 83 as that interceptor rebounder, I'd be happy to take him as a bit of bench cover and even that D5 spot for me.
Yeah, yeah, I don't mind it. He's your last pick, isn't he? In it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I don't mind it. We saw him a couple of years ago, and I kind of liked him heading into this year, but just with the recruitment of Tui, with Jake Colajasny, you know, Guthrie's going to spend more time back there. I've got my doubts, but I see your point, Jono. I don't mind it.
Mm.
If it doesn't work out, it's cost you absolutely nothing, and that's the point of these picks. Could it work out? Yes, it could. I'll probably go other ways, but I see your point.
Yeah, I think the same, boys. He would be the last pick as bench cover. You know, he's been talked about for the last two or three years just as that backman who's going to come good for Geelong, but yeah, a few players have gone past him, so I think, yeah, if you've got a flyer towards the end of the round, you might as well pick him up. Worst case, he lasts 2 weeks and you grab a hot property off the waiver wire.
Maybe grab a Luke Hodge and go my way. Go my way.
Absolutely.
All right, so two against one there. Who's your next sleeper for you there, Archie?
So, if your name is Lockie and you play for Fremantle... Oh, no, sorry, we can't say that anymore, can we?
Thank God.
Well, one of them has anyway. Lockie Weller is my next one. So last year he had an ADP of 276. He's definitely going to go higher than that. Now, you talk about the branding and that when we spoke about Hodgie, and this is a bit the same. You're talking about guys that have been talked about a lot in the off-season. So your Lockie Weller has been talked up a lot, and how Freo traded or how Freo got picked two for him, I'll never know, but that's beside the point. I think that's actually going to push up his draft position a little bit. He didn't actually average that much in the last couple of years. Like in his first year, he averaged 61, and then last year he increased that to 71. He'll be mid-only, so those sorts of numbers, he's going to slide down to the end of the draft. You would think, unless there's a Freo supporter or a Gold Coast supporter who's really, really hot on him. He is going to be one of the more mature bodies, I guess, in that Gold Coast midfield now. So it's one of those ones, and I hate when Zane and I talk about it all the time in the on our pod, but you've got to watch him in the preseason and see what his role is. His new club, new coach, you just don't know what it's going to be. But I think he has the facility, the ability to be that big jumper. I was thinking last year I was in a draft where Clayton Oliver got picked at 201 in the draft, and he had a massive, probably 20-point jump. Lockie Weller has the chance to do that this year. He could definitely go up to that 100-point average. And you're not going to take him in the early rounds because there's no proof that he can. It is a sleeper, and I just think he's got the ability to take that next step. They're going to be looking for someone in the Gold Coast midfield to take over from, well, Gaz and those sorts of guys. And I think it might be Weller.
Yeah, well, he's coming from the Ross Lyon team of no fantasy fun whatsoever. So he's probably similar to a Jared Lyons. Gets out of Adelaide, becomes fantasy relevant. Probably, don't know if he'll go to the 100 average, but if he gets you a solid mid-90s, I'd be very happy with that. Pairing with Lyons, Swallow. Hey, even Dylan Buckley's gone to the Gold Coast now, so we can all jump on him as well. So I don't mind it as a pick, and I'm pretty sure you will get him late in your drafts.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be really interesting to see if he actually gets defender status, because I actually think he will retain defender. I love the pick. I think it's fantastic. And one thing that's interesting, I actually found it really, really interesting, was that people were so critical of Gold Coast giving away pick two for him. But at the end of the day, they're talking about a first-round pick who's had 3 years of development. Like, it just seems like he's ready to break out. Like, I know we see the number of number two being this awesome pick, but at the end of the day, is pick two guaranteed to be better than what you know about Lockie Weller? I don't know. I actually think Lockie Wells is a great pick. If he gets defender status, I'm all over it. And if he was my... I'd be happy with him as a D2, quite frankly, if he gets defender status. If he gets midfield, last pick, absolutely. Low 90s average, no worries at all. I'm all about it.
And who's your second pick there for your sleeper, Steve?
Well, I guess my second sleeper is much like your first one, Jono. I've sandwiched between a couple of high-ish draft picks, an actual real sleeper, and that's Mitchell Hibberd from North Melbourne, who's going to be listed as a defender. The change is absolutely happening at North Melbourne, and one of our absolute favourites, and I'm probably the flag bearer of the Aaron Mullett fan club. He's gone to Carlton. I suspect Luke McDonald will move a little bit more towards the midfield, although they've obviously got some young midfielders in Ahern and LDU who are going to take over this year. But we know there's going to be points in the North Melbourne backline. Now, I'm suggesting it's Mitch Hibberd who's in line for the game time and the points. He only played the four games last year, and he's only got averages of 41 Dream Team and 39 Supercoach. So he is going to be absolutely free in your drafts. But the thing is, because he only played the four games, one of those games he was shut down very early in the first quarter and only scored a handful of points. But his third game he did score the 87 Dream Team and 74 Supercoach. His junior career profiles him as a pretty good interceptor and a kick, so he's a good disposal. I think he'll be given every opportunity, but again, it is going to be a massive watch in the preseason because he is by no means automatic best 22. He could be pushed out by Sam Wright, who we suspect will return from injury this year. Ed Vickers-Willis will be in line for game. Declan Mountford. These players are sort of floating around, but I just see there's points and opportunity for North Melbourne. Mitch Hibberd has been on the list a couple of years now, and he's shown the ability, like, he just profiles as someone who can be Aaron Mullett, but just a fraction better. Whether he actually puts those points on the board, time will tell, but the preseason will be very, I'll be very interested to see what's happening down at North Melbourne, because there is going to be a hell of a lot of competition for spots.
Yeah, I don't mind that pick too bad. Haven't seen a lot of Mitch Hibberd, so not being one of my teams, it is yours, but trust your words of wisdom there, Steve, and I'm hoping to pick him off you in one of our drafts, hopefully.
Yeah, I think North are going to be very interesting to watch this year because nobody knows anyone on their team, let's be honest. I mean, they've gotten rid of all their elder statesmen. You know, you got Jack Zeeble there, and he's about the only one that's been there more than a year and a half, I reckon. You know, I'm exaggerating a bit, but they're going to play a bunch of kids, and you just don't know who's going to step up, who's going to be this year's, say, an Alex Witherden or someone like that, a good, solid 80 defender rookie, those sorts of guys. And yeah, Mitch Hibberd, I think he could very well be that, you know, that for you this year.
Yeah, and that's kind of what the path I'm going down there is. It's just kind of the unknown, isn't it? We're all looking for that lightning in a bottle situation, and there's sort of options there. It's like, is Taylor Garner going to play midfield? Is Ahern going to be good? We just don't know. But I think the defense, because they've opened up spots there, that's where I'm kind of looking. We know the ball's going to be down there.
My next sleeper is Paul Seisman from the Adelaide Crows. He had an ADP of 268. He only played the two home and away games because Brody Smith was semi-calm carving it up. I don't want to give Statesman too many kudos here. But once Brody Smith went down with that ACL, it was all about Paul Seisman. Had a pretty good final series. Scored 266s and 111 in the finals. And in your Dream Team format, had 52, 94, and 69. That's including the grand final. But in the home and away season, he had an average of 86 Dream Team, 78 Supercoach. Yes, it's only two games, but there was a couple of 90s in there that shows you Paul Seisman can score. So I'm pretty keen on him because he is that replacement for Brody Smith. He's going to be that dashing defender, long kicks from defensive 50, get out on the wing, and might even push up forward and kick a few goals, which he has been known to do for the for the Crows. I'm looking at an 85 average for him, which would get you around a D5 to bench cover, but certainly going to go deep in your drafts.
Yeah, I the first thing I did when Brody Smith went down was rush to the waiver wire in the keeper league and picked up Paul Seedsman, Jono, as you will well know. I think you're on the money with him being a great sleeper pick. I think, you know,
especially as Curtly Hampton ain't coming back.
What? You're giving up on your boy only after what, 3 years? This is crazy.
Yeah, put the cue in the rack.
What did you say? 85. I mean, if he averaged 85, he's a low end D2. Like,
if he can. But you'd be looking him at I don't know, might have cut out there, but you'd be getting him as a D5 to bench cover.
Oh yeah, you would be. But yeah, I think he's every chance to average between 83 and 78, which is pretty good. Certainly valuable on field. I really wish Bryce Gibbs hadn't gone there. Don't like that, but I think it's worth a flyer. We'll see how it pans out over the preseason, but I think you're on the money. I think he's a great pick, and I'm pretty sure everyone's been burnt by Paul Seedsman at some point in their fantasy football career, so there's a bit of stank on him. And
never had him.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, boys, at what point does potential turn into a bust? Like, Seedsman's been on everyone's radar for the last 3-4 years, even back when he was at Collingwood. He just can't get on the park, so that's what's going to push him back in draft order. But I don't know, I think I just can't see him providing consistent scores. So I don't know, Corey will hate me, he's a big Crow supporter, but I think I'll be staying away from him.
That's right, I'll be mentioning him in our early hype train show as well. He's all aboard the Seed train.
Did we do that show already?
Did we? Oh, no, we're going to do it again because I've got to put him in there.
Oh, God.
But if you are loving the show, we are on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. If you've got a couple of minutes, do leave us a review. We've actually got two reviews this week, Steve. The first one's from James Barge, and it's his my go-to podcast for draft formats. And he says, been an avid listener for 12 months now. And this is the go-to pod for fantasy drafts or dice. Not one mention of salary crap nonsense. Oh, sorry, salary cap nonsense. Solid banter too. Loving the work, fellas. Keep it coming. And the next is from Tom 33546, or as we know here at the Draft Doctors as Dr. Beardface. He says, loving the summer pods. Great content all year round. Pumped for the Listener League season next year, where I will look to defend my title. Thanks very much for the reviews, guys. Keep the 5-star ratings going. And if you are new to the show, please, it only takes a few minutes, just like these guys have right here, take a few minutes out of their time, hit that 5-star rating, leave a review. It really helps our brand.
Yeah, and seriously, if someone does a review and they mentions the word platypus or monotreme this week, you'll get a prize. There'll be a prize of some description. I can't say it'll be good. It might be Paul Seedsman. I don't know. It might be a signed Nutribullet by Statesman,
or just a Pinot cork. Do wine bottles come with corks, or they just screw cap these days?
I don't know. Who knows what Statesman has? But corks are fancy these
who
days.
Who knows?
Actually, hey, John, Ashley, you know what happened tonight? I was really I only had one beer in the fridge. I actually had a massive day at work. It was like 10.5 hours. I only had one beer in the fridge, so I dropped that as soon as I came home. No fish hooks on that one. And the other ones weren't warm, but I needed a shower because I was covered in soil. So I jumped in the shower, but the only thing I had was a little bit of wine left in the goon bag. So I've taken the goon bag in the shower. But it was really weird because there was nowhere to put it. Like, I got a little shelf, which a can goes on pretty nicely. I tried to hang it over the shower head, but it tilted it down. It's, I don't know, going in the shower is a bit of a, it's not great.
You just had to MacGyver that thing. You punch a hole in the goon, with a bit of hose, jimmy it up so it doesn't leak, and then when you want to drink, just straighten the mouth. It's fine.
Just for people who can't see, Johnny's actually acting that out on our Skype call, and it's he's watched too much MacGyver.
Maybe I've tried it.
Maybe it'll end up more like MacGruber, and I'll follow my ass with a hunk of celery up there. So I don't know.
But who's your third and final sleeper there, Archie?
All right, so my third and final sleeper, we talk about all the players that change teams over the off-season, and Essendon were one of the most active this year. Now, they brought in Devon Smith, Jake Stringer and Adam Saad. So there's a lot of talk about those guys and how they're going to go into the Essendon team. And you know, I look at, well, all those guys, the talk is going to be around them. So there's another guy there that I think is ready for that third-year breakout as well, and that's Darcy Parrish. So he had an ADP of 201. He averaged 78.3 last year, and he will... I think he only jumped up 3 points per game or 4 points per game from 16 to 17, but I don't know. There's no logic to this one, boys. It's a gut feel sort of thing. I just think that all the talk is going to be about those other players, so you will be able to get him very late in a draft, and I think he's good for an 85 to 95 at the, you know, at the end of your midfield. I think he'll do quite well for you.
Nothing beats a gut feel pick. That's what this show is all about, gut feel, and just go with it.
Archie, do you listen to this? I know you're a big fan of the Draft Doctors podcast, and you beg to come on, and you sent us money to actually to waste your own precious time to come on. But do you listen to this show as you're falling asleep, like it's, you know, those subliminal sort of things?
No, I must admit, I do listen to podcasts as I fall asleep, but I make sure I'm fully up and aware for when I'm listening to you guys. Because, to be honest, I listen to you guys for all my draft, my draft help, and having to come on and do my own research, it's really thrown me, boys. So,
well, I think you've gone down the right track here, because Darcy Parrish, I think I spoke about him in September, Statesman spoke about him in October. Now we're in November, you've come on the show and you've gone, given Darcy Parrish a rap. I love it. I'm all about it. All about the Darcy Parrish hype train this year. I think you're on the money. The signs point to the third-year breakout. Devon Smith, he's not going to be a pure mid. Just forget about it. Darcy Parrish is the guy they've been grooming. They drafted him early. Lock it in. Absolutely. And he may even get forward status. If he gets... This is the problem. If he gets forward status, he's probably not going to... Yep. Go after round 12, but if he's only mid, absolutely, he'll be round 16.
Yeah, and I was going to ask, do you think he retains his forward status? But there it
well,
is.
Well, that's the big question, isn't it? And we've all sort of been asking it. He got it in the Ultimate Footy format, obviously. We'll find out in 2 weeks, I think. Less than 2 weeks.
Be very close to it, yeah.
Yeah, I did have a bit of a look at his heat map over the last four or five rounds. Unfortunately, it doesn't show me his season one, and that just at the end of the season the heat map's a bit pointless anyway, but the last four or five rounds he was mainly midfield, so I don't know that he'll get it, but potentially depending on how his role goes with Essendon, he may be one of those ones that gets it added throughout the year, but I do think he'll be mainly midfield this year.
Can you be seeing him being that Devon Smith hybrid type where he's just floating around and going to be that 90 averaging forward, perhaps, like Devon Smith, because he's the one going for the midfield time with Jake Stringer?
Oh,
yeah, potentially. I think they're gonna, as much as they're talking up Devon Smith, I think they're gonna slot him off half forward. I don't think he will get the midfield time. Parrish has been under Worsfold for what, the last 2 years, and he's now played 39 games, so obviously he got... You can say he was gifted a few games in his first year because of the whole drugs saga thing. But now, you know, he's going to end up playing his 50th game this year, and that's when those young players really do start to understand the game and know where to run to, when to run there and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I think he will be more mid than forward, but we'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
Yeah, I think if he's not in the absolute midfield, he'd be more on a wing than forward. That would be my suspicion with the additions of Smith and Stringer on top of Tipper and whoever else they've got up there.
And moving on to your last sleeper there, Steve.
Okay, so I thought my first two sleepers were both pretty... I think Patton's pretty deep, and I think Mitchell Hibbard's almost undrafted. That's how deep he is. So I'll give you someone who's probably pushing more towards the 12th... We did say after the 12th round, so I'll give you someone who's pushing more towards the 12th round. Although he was drafted with an ADP of 162 in your ultimate footy last year, and I think he'll probably be in the same sort of boat this year, and that's Jordan DeGoey from Collingwood. Now, Jordan, I just want to make one deal with you. Just just please get through the preseason. Just don't... No dogs, no punching walls, no stupidity. Just pretend you've matured, all right? Just pretend. That's fine. All right. Look, he's got all the tricks in the world. I think he'll retain his forward status, but he certainly got some run through the midfield last year, hitting the 32 disposal mark in a game and 27 disposals in two others. He only averaged 79 in both formats, so he is absolutely buried in your formats. Even in Supercoach, he's actually behind Johnny Patton. So that's how buried he is. I know he's got a name and a little bit of hype around him, obviously playing for Collingwood, very high profile. But he's certainly shown the ability to hit the scoreboard, averaged a goal a match last year, did kick four in one game. The interesting thing about him is playing through the midfield last year, getting the high disposal totals, is that was the knock on him coming out as a junior, was that, yes, he was a very high impact player, but he wasn't always able to find the possessions at will. I think Collingwood really have to go down the path of developing. We've seen Treloar move more to the outside. Even Scotty Pendlebury starting to shape that way. I know there's a little bit of talk about Pendlebury moving into a sort of quarterback role as he enters his 27th AFL season. I kind of like DeGoey. Look, is it going to happen? Maybe, maybe not. We saw with Dangerfield, he did have that age 17 season where he only played two games, but it was his fifth season where he really broke out. Can DeGoey, I mean, I'm not saying DeGoey is Patrick Dangerfield, but I just see them as that similar type where they're that forward impact player. So I think DeGoey is a fourth year breakout rather than the third. I think he's got a fantastic, we've seen the fantastic ceiling hitting the 130s, and it really it's just a matter of continued development. Because he's actually improved each season he's got. He's hit the 50-game mark going into his fourth season of footy. I think he's actually got the possibility to finish as an F2, which suggests he's going to finish with an 85 to 88 average. I think that's well within the realms of possibility. He just has to stay away from that... just has to stay away from that dog.
Frisbee.
The dog. Now, that was how. I got corrected on Twitter. So
that was how, was it?
Yeah. Well, DeGoey said he played with his dog. How said he played with the dog and the Frisbee. So I did get corrected by some fantastic individual who's got nothing to do on Twitter that I did miss the Frisbee. But DeGoey didn't specify that he didn't use a Frisbee with his imaginary play date. So he may have well imagined that he used a Frisbee. I don't know. That's what Twitter's for, John.
That is true. Yeah, I don't mind the DeGoey pick. There's always talk about players with the hype around him when they do come to a club, but we have seen it that he is the real deal, and Bucks just needs to get a kick in the ass and just put him in the guts where he knows he's just going to be a fantasy monster.
Yeah, once again, boys, I can't argue with your logic there. I think he's a good, solid pick. He's another one of those guys that every year has been the guy that everyone wants to pick, but just for some silly reason, he does something in the off season, or he gets injured or something like that. So I think, yeah, as you say, if he can get through preseason and Bucks actually plays him, yeah, I think he could very well be that, as you say, F2, F3 sort of guy and do a good job for you.
Yeah, and we did see the last time I saw Collingwood putting out videos at the end of the season, he had a girlfriend. Now, I'm just hoping that the missus will keep him on the straight and narrow. Just please, dear God. Oh, I don't know if they're still here. I don't know. I'm not Woman's Day. But, you know, You know, women can, a good woman can clip your wings just a little bit.
Or just burn him down in flames, unless it's exactly like him, but female version. They're going to be playing dog frisbee all the time.
Dogby.
Just break it.
They actually throw the dog.
Yes. They're actually throwing the dog. That's right.
Nice.
It's a new sport. Something that you as a cat lover would
love. Hey, they should do that down at St Kilda instead of tossing midgets. They just toss dogs. Like, that'd be... Did I just say toss dogs?
You mad?
That's this is a family show, Jono.
Just cut that one out. But I know the rule, nothing gets cut on this show.
Not unless it makes me look stupid.
No, that's true. But moving on to my last sleeper, I've got a big soft spot for this guy. I've probably mentioned him a couple of times on this show. That's Daniel Howe from the Hawks. Had an ADP of 250. Steve's just shaking his head, as usual. Doesn't like it one bit. Had an average of 73.5 in Supercoach, 76 Dream Team. Got the 2 tons this year in Supercoach, 3 in AFL Fantasy, because he got the midfield time this year. Had about 6 or 7 games where he was playing pure mid with a bit of a tagging role, but was still able to score quite well. He's 191 centimetres, 85 kilo. I'm going to be interested to see where they're actually playing this year. I do hope if... Well, actually, I don't hope, but if Yago Mira is out of that team, then he's going to be that midfielder behind Tommy Mitchell, because Tommy Mitchell had 51 centre clearances this year. Dan Howe had 21 as well out of the 247 that Hawthorn had for the year. So he knows how to win his own ball. He's averaged about 17 possessions a game, 1-to-1 kick to handball ratio, average 4 marks and 5.5 tackles a game. So can build a score that way if he gets the more midfield time. But the only big question is, does Gunston and Sicily go forward? That means he goes back, going to hamper his scoring, or just how they're going to play him this year. So he probably will spend some time back, but can see him playing more midfield time.
But does he retain defender status?
I think he does, yeah, because he's split 50-50, so I still think he stays as a defender for one more year potentially, but wait and see.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's automatic best 22.
You don't think
I don't know. I don't know, John. You're on an island.
Played the 18
You're
games.
On an island.
Played the 18.
And it's not Sheed Island. It's Howe Island. As in, how the hell did I wind up on this goddamn island?
18 games in 2017.
I think if you're banking on O'Meara missing for Howe to get games in the midfield, I think you're going to be sorely disappointed, because O'Meara is going to play all 22 games next year. And I'm not just saying that because I've got him in the keeper league.
Zero.
I'm just saving this file for our You Suck show, so we're going to have Archie on the show.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It just seems... I don't know. I know you're riding the train pretty hard on Howe.
But even if he's that third midfielder as well...
There's a guy called Liam Shields who exists. There's a guy called Isaac Smith who exists. Like, I don't know.
But Isaac Smith's outside, not inside.
That's true, but... You know, Kieran Lovell exists. Like, I don't know. He needs defender status.
Yes, otherwise just unplayable. Yeah.
I don't know. I'd probably take a risk elsewhere, to be honest, John. I mean, I think James Sicily will be a defender. I think that Gunston will have defender status, but I think he'll play forward. Because I got Frawley coming back. Who's the other guy coming back as well?
Stratton.
Yeah. I don't know. What are your other teams?
Sorry?
What are your other teams?
My other teams were the Saints, Bulldogs, and Melbourne.
What about Savage? Give me Shane Savage.
Well, Petraka was an ADP of 140, so yeah. Right on that borderline there, but he's going to go higher.
Oh, you don't use number one picks on the slip. Oh, yeah.
Jack Steele, 130 nice. ADP for the Saints.
He'll be pure mid, though. Savage.
Probably.
Give me Shane Savage without Montagna. He went bonkers at the end of the year.
See, I think that's going Jack Nunes' way.
Yeah, I guess it could.
That's just me, but you know, Harley Ballack to Melbourne. If Gus Brayshaw gets another concussion, some solid points there.
If.
And I just didn't want to touch anyone at the Bulldogs because that's just a bonfire I don't want to be a part of.
What about Jesse? He's going to be down there.
Jesse? Yeah. He's not a sleeper.
He'll be drafted late.
He's your number one forward. He's your number one forward.
He'll be drafted late. He's my number one forward. No, I've got probably Jared Roughead.
Patterson, you got Cam.
I don't, unfortunately. Ah, whatever.
You got Cam, Jesse, you're good.
Jono, we've got some important stuff to talk about, buddy. Let's get to that.
We do. We've wrapped up the fantasy stuff. That's just the byproduct of this show. The top five list, it's becoming very popular. This week we're going with top five zoo animals. What are the best five animals you'd like to see at any zoo? So we're talking Aussie zoo, African zoo, normal zoo, even an aquarium. So Archie, what's your top five there, mate?
So I reckon I put more thought into this one than I did my actual sleeper picks, boys, because you sort of threw me with this one. It's not something that I normally think about. So had to put the thinking cap on, ask the kids, ask Mrs. Archie, and see what we came up with. So I did come up with five, and just five. My first one is the otters. I love the little buggers at the Perth Zoo. There's one in particular that has a bit of OCD with a stone, throws the stone back and forth in his hands, and he's got better skills, I reckon, than some AFL footy players. So the otters are in there, and you've got to have the king of the jungle, the lion. We took the kids to the zoo last year, and the lion let out a God almighty roar, and the little one just about ran 5 mile the other way. So you've got to respect the king of the jungle. Hey,
I'm just going to put you up here. The big cats are crap. Oh, come on.
Hey?
The big cats are terrible. Like, to be honest, like, I see a sign at the little enclosure saying the puma. Are we even sure it's in there? Because I just look in there and I see a bunch of trees. It's like the bloody velociraptor enclosure at Jurassic Park. They're just lying around sleeping. I don't know about the big cats. I think.
See, now you need to go to Mogo Zoo up in Batons Bay. I saw the lions there. The guys just throwing bits of steaks over the fence and they're killing each other for it.
That's what I need.
Kids are just crapping themselves.
Steve, jump in the enclosure, mate, and we'll see see how active they actually are.
I got some wheels.
Well, it's only the female lions that actually hunt. The males just sit there and get the food brought to them. It's great.
As it should be.
I think so.
So my next one is honour of the great man who's not here tonight, so you've had to put up with me, is the Tasmanian Devil, purely because of the name. I think it's an awesome name. Anything with the devil in it, I think has got to be good. And one that stuck with me from when I went to the zoo as a kid, the Perth Zoo had this humongous boa constrictor. It was got to be half a foot thick and in this little tiny cage. But, yeah, it stuck with me, and I'd always thought, geez, you'd be stuffed if you fell in there. But I was always fascinated to go and have a look. And the number one has got to be, given that I'm a ranger myself, has got to be the orangutans. Love the orangutans. Been there. They've got them at the Perth Zoo, and we also went to a sanctuary over in Indonesia when we went over there on a holiday, an orangutan sanctuary there. So funny little buggers, always good for a laugh, and especially the kids stirring the adults up. So they're my top five: lions, otters, Tassie devil, boa constrictor, and the mighty ranger.
Bit of conjecture there from Steve, but let's see what you got, Steve. Who have you got, mate?
Well, I didn't mind the devil. I tossed up about the devil because the devil's pretty good, especially when it's feeding time. They're interesting. But the correct list, and I will give. Can I just give a little shout out to the serval? All right, we got the gift passed. See, the thing is, we went to the Werribee Zoo, the Open Plains Zoo, and the serval isn't on display. But we got the, you know, the animal experience thing where you go into the cage and you get to pat the serval and you know, spend some time with it and all that. And that was pretty awesome. But because it's not on display for regular people, I didn't want to include it on the list. But number five.
Is it a carnivore?
Yeah, it's like the smallest big cat, but it like jumps over people and you can pat it and all that sort of. I'll tweet a picture of me with the serval because it's pretty awesome.
Is that the one with the big ears?
Yeah, big ears. But number five, I've got the small monkeys, like the capuchins and the gibbons and the tamarins. If you've been to the Melbourne Zoo, you do the walk amongst the trees and the little monkeys are the absolute duck's nuts. They're always doing... Oh, and I did want to just throw out there. The animals have to be entertaining. I don't want an animal laying around on my dime. I'm spending money on this. And I love echidnas. They're one of my favourite animals, but they're local. I don't want that. I want something interesting and exciting, which kind of contradicts my number four, which is the bison. The bison are awesome. Well, they used to be awesome when they're at Melbourne Zoo. Now they're in the big park at Werribee and you're 20 metres away from them when you go near them, but I always love the bison, the big meat, big beasts, and like Charlie, the Charlie Dixon of the zoo. Number three, this is a bit of a strange one, but if you've ever been to Healesville Sanctuary, there's only one reason you go to it, and it's to see the wedge-tail eagle just hammering over your head at about a million k's an hour. The eagle show at Healesville Sanctuary is something else, but the wedge-tail eagle, the big daddy predator, behemoth of an eagle, it is just a majestic sight. Do you know, boys, it is the wedge-tail eagle, and you'll probably know this, Archie, out in WA, it has started taking out drones.
Like, awesome. I must admit, one of the great things about going to an Eagles game at Subi or Optus, wherever it's going to be this year, is they have that eagle come down and fly around the stands, and it does big laps of the stadium and then flies down and gets its little bit of meat in the middle of the ground. It's just a majestic animal. And I tell you what, if they want to get rid of all the seagulls at the MCG, just have a seagull, have an eagle fly around the place, mate. They get out quick smart. I'll give you the tip.
Well, when I was over in the States, I went to Universal Studios and they have like an animal display going on and you pay a few extra bucks, you go backstage. I actually had a hawk sitting on my arm, about the same size as the wedge-tailed eagle. That thing, I'm wearing like a full welder's glove on my hand. It was clawing through that and like drawing blood. Like, those buggers are strong. So wedge-tailed eagle, yeah.
Don't you got to get around the wedge-tailed eagle. All right, number two, the red panda. I love the red panda.
Yes.
Red panda's awesome. And when it's on go, it is just on steroids. It is just up and down the trees and jumping over. And the one at the Melbourne Zoo, because the tree goes over the enclosure, and you think it's just going to jump down and just start running havoc through the zoo. It's awesome. But the number one zoo animal, gentlemen, is the seals. The seals are awesome.
No.
And you know why? Because
they're fat, they're smelly. They don't do anything.
So basically you in marine form.
Yes.
No, the seals are awesome, you know, because the show is amazing. They're awesome. They're jumping on stuff. They're doing tricks and all that. But just, it's the best aquarium you'll ever see, because if you just sit there and watch them under the water swim around, it's so calming. Serenity now, Jono. Serenity now.
No. Serenity now. I want action. Action.
But they're always moving. They'll die if they don't move.
I'm thinking sea lions, not seals. We get them mixed up. Seals are okay. They're okay.
Well, give us your horrendous list of snakes and cats.
Well, number five, I got meerkats.
Meerkats are shit.
Have you ever seen meerkats in the flesh? No, you haven't.
So yes, I have, because they're the very first thing you see in the zoo. You know why? Because they're the shittest thing, so they put them up front.
Nah, love my meerkats. They're awesome. Number four for me, it's got to be a giraffe. Mm. Have you ever patted a giraffe and fed a giraffe? They're awesome. Your big face and they drool on you, just like your missus there, Steve.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I don't know. I'm not about the giraffe.
Giraffes, very lovely animal. I do love them. Number three for me, like you, Steve, are the monkeys. I was out in the Mogo Zoo while on my mini honeymoon, and just in the enclosure there was kids to the right of me, and the monkey just starts flinging the poo at the kids, and it just bounced off the window. Best thing you've ever seen. Kids just start screaming and running away. I love these monkeys. They're just your standard chimpanzees, but any monkey is a good monkey, so don't mind that. Crocodiles, number two. If you've ever been to, his name's Steve Irwin's Crocodile Farm up in Queensland. He's just, like, when he was alive, I got to meet him. He was just there with a hunk of meat just hanging over the water, and the croc just jumps up out of the water a couple of feet, a couple of metres even, just to grab it out of his hand. So, gotta have your crocodiles or any reptiles. Reptiles are just great. So, all vicious animals, Steve. None of these furry red pandas crap.
I like frogs. They're a reptile? Amphibian.
Amphibian.
Yeah.
And number one, I've just got vicious cats. They're in a group. I just can't have one. Any vicious cat, I mean, cheetah, puma, lion, tigers, everything. Just chuck them in there. Love me a big vicious cat, especially the ones at Mogo Zoo, because they feed them meat while they're having a demo, and they're only 2 meters away from you, and they're going crazy.
The problem at the Melbourne Zoo is they're almost so docile.
No, not Melbourne, Mogo.
Yeah, I heard you. I heard the words out of your mouth, but I haven't gone to Mogo. It sounds made up, quite frankly.
I've got the stubby holder.
I could print stubby holders at home. Wait, where's Mogo?
They got rhinos, they got big silverback gorillas.
Gorillas cool. Suck. Like, honestly.
No, these are the silverback ones from that movie Congo, which just eat people.
Gorillas suck.
You're trying to think of that movie Congo, aren't you?
No, I know Congo. It's got Tim Curry. That's Tim true. Curry's the bomb. How could you forget Tim Curry?
I was just trying to remember the movie. All of it. I forgot Tim Curry was in it, but it's all good.
Anything with Tim Curry, you know, is good. You know what we were watching the other night? It was Jurassic Park. And it's...
Which one? Because they're all on over the weekend. It was awesome.
Yeah, but it's... No, wait. What was I thinking of? The movie, there's Goldblum and something in it. I don't know. I'm off. I'm lost. I've gone too far. It's too late. It's past 11.
It's past 11. So you don't want to talk about my neighbour before we went on
the recording? Wrap this up.
Getting ready to record, about 8:45 at night, the neighbour just pulls out the lawnmower and just starts trundling along, just mowing the lawns, and then he gets the grass cutter. He starts cutting the grass to roll it up, like he's pulling up the grass. I'm just got a video of it. It's a great video to watch, but just some crazy people out here in Cranny West.
The interesting thing was Archie was actually cutting his lawn at the same time, but it was perfectly acceptable because it was before noon.
That's fine.
I was going to say, you don't get that sort of shenanigans over here in WA, boys. Everyone's nice and civilised over here. You know, in bed nice and early, up nice and early. It's great.
You're going for a surf when it's like midnight over here. It's just... Wedgetail eagle taking out your drones.
But mind you, sport's on a bit earlier. It is good over there in Perth. I was there a couple of weeks ago. I did enjoy the weather, but nothing's open. Just nothing is open.
Hey, what do you call potato cakes? Is it scallops?
Yeah, I don't eat them, to be honest. So I know you guys were having the discussion either on the pod or on Twitter, and I just went, I don't actually know because I don't eat it. I see them at the fish and chip shops. They're called scallops, but
what do you call scallops?
To me, that's what I was going to say. To me, a scallop is a what is it, a crustacean or something like that? Potato cakes, whatever you want to call them. Hash browns even, or are they different? Is a hash brown different to a potato cake?
Yes.
Don't start that debate, please.
No, that's why I was asking the question.
Have you been to Melbourne? Have you been to a legitimate time zone?
We used to have time zones over here. You mean not the computer game place, an actual... Greenwich Mean Time thing. Yes, I have been to Melbourne. I've been out of the state of WA.
So what are the different... What do you call it? What are the different things? Well, like naming-wise, besides scallops? Do you call them chasmosses?
The one that drives me bananas, the one that absolutely drives me bananas is the bloody Derby. It's spelt with an E, boys.
Derby.
It's a Derby. It's the Western Derby, not a Derby.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
That's about the only one that really springs to mind, I reckon.
I'll give you that. That's fair.
I just want to know what your thoughts are on trying to get to the new Optus Stadium over there, because when I was over there a couple of weeks ago, it was pretty hard to get to.
Yeah, well, apparently the footbridge isn't going to be completed until like 2052 or something like that at this point. So I don't know, maybe we'll all just get on the back of Eagles, Lord of the Rings style, and we'll all just fly there.
Is there actually going to be a train station there, or are they still talking about that?
I think the plans are that there will be, but not too sure, to be honest, Jono.
Yeah, no, it was a pain in the ass to get to, whereas I drove past Subiaco or whatever you call it every day, and like, that's pretty easy to get to. There's a train stop right there, and even with the Wacker, just get on the bus and there you are.
Yeah, no, Subi was great because obviously I come up from a couple of hours south, so we drive up about halfway, then jump on the train all the way in. It's great. Don't need to worry about traffic, parking, all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Just feral opposition supporters.
Yeah, yeah. So when Jared Roughead was out of bounds, how did that sound? That's fun. The PT Tigers.
Come on, don't. He's a special guest, and you're antagonising him. Come on, Steve. Be nice.
Oh, I was being nice.
It's all good. You guys are nothing compared to Zeno, so exactly. Don't worry too much about it.
I've heard their podcast.
All right then. All right, we'll wrap the show up here because it is almost midnight here in Melbourne. But thank you very much, Archie, for being on the show. If you want to follow them on Twitter, you can do that by checking them out at OTLS AUS or OTLS Archie. You can check us, the Draft Doctors, out on Twitter, where we are at the Draft Doctors at Statesman33. We're on the Facebook and the Instagram as well. And we've got a lot of good things coming out next year, so do stay tuned. They are in the works. Very exciting stuff, so stay tuned and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.